We are on our last class of David's intimacy with the Godhead. However, yours may continue.
Yes.
For it to stay a class is just wrong. We should make it living life, and we should endeavor, if you will, to move ever closer ourselves towards that. And I know that I seek that and can say that I think I'm seeing some results. I mean, at first God was kind of like, I don't want to talk to you, you know. But now it's more like, like the Holy Spirit goes, let him, come on, let him. He's funny. So, anyway. Okay, so we stopped at Matthew chapter 21. Maybe y'all remember that. And I want to go ahead and read those scriptures and then have a look-see beyond that, or at least an examination of something further than what we did last time. Matthew 21. And we're going to start with verse 33 through 44. Okay? So as they say in the Baptist church, turn in your Bibles. And I remember when we were on Bolivar, and I walked up there and was getting ready to preach, and I said, turn in your Bibles. And they all started flipping. I said, no, I want you to turn in your Bibles to me. Anyway, that's why they burned the church down. Not really. It's still there. It's still, I don't know why I say these things. Okay, Matthew 21, verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out, or rented it out to husbandmen who went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. That was an assumption on the part of the father. You know, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm, you know, all these divisions that we think are holy and everything else when they're nothing more than our preferences. But nonetheless, when it came to his son, the father felt that there would be reverence from their hearts towards him. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. So they're not seeing this as his son. They're seeing this as a quick way to riches. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Remember, this is, as it were, a parable. And they say unto Jesus, unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you ever read in the scriptures? That's probably a good question, just to leave it like that. Right? Have you ever, like, read the scriptures? Try it. It's a good idea. In the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. this is the Lord's doing it, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. So we'll stop right there. And you remember, I'm sure, that this last portion, starting in verse 42 and going down to 43, were written by David. Y'all remember that? They were written by David. And we discussed the fact that Jesus is quoting David. He's quoting him, Jesus being the Son of God, who always was and is to come, is quoting a man that was thousands of years before. And quoting something that might not even make sense to a lot of people, even Christians today, but a lot of people through the ages. But Jesus' eyes landed on it and his heart landed on it. And of course, this isn't the first time Jesus heard it, you know, because he probably shared it with him thousands of years ago, you know. But it's, he found the moment. He found the piece that this piece of puzzle fits in to eternal meaning and where it's applicable at that very moment. And of course, Jesus started that in verse 42. Did you ever read? Again, that's the second time he did it, actually, in here. There was another spot. Oh, that's down. That's in like verse 16, I think. But anyway, obviously using it within this chapter twice gives us maybe a sense to believe that the people that Jesus is talking about that is not reverencing his true servants, the people that he is talking about that did not reverence his son, were right there among him, right there before him. They were those who did not read. And you can say that in two different ways. I mean, you know, you can say, well, have you ever read? And part of that could be, do you ever pick up the book? Or it can be, have you ever read it and really read it? I mean, I have a sign on my door. I just noticed it. Actually, it's not on it right now, but it's laying there right beside it as I went out. I look down. It says, prayer in progress, please do not knock. And I thought, you know, it probably should be modified to say, prayer if progressing, then do not knock. Because, you know, you can be having prayer and it not be progressing. You can be sharing the word and it not be progressing. You can, you know, live your life and it not be progressing. So Jesus has, it's different. It's different when he reads it because he knows that he's that son. And he knows that the Father is the master of the vineyard. And he knows that the Father, in this sense, didn't send his son to be murdered. Now, we know he did send him to be a living, or to be a sacrifice, right? Jesus wasn't murdered on one hand. From God's point of view, from heaven's point of view, he was a sacrifice, and he willingly chose that. Y'all see the difference? There's a difference between somebody murdering you and you laying down your life. And that's why many of you will probably be martyred, because you refuse to lay down your life. I'm kidding. But anyway, there's a little bit of truth in that. We have to walk in that spirit. We have to think in that spirit. We have to be with the Father in that spirit. It can't be waiting just for an event to do that, but to, have you never read, yes, I have read that. I have read it over here. I have read it throughout the book, and are being brought into it, that we could say that. None of us have it all perfectly. But there is a desire to be brought into it, I remember, and I've shared this before, but a long time ago, but when I first went to Bible school and was there for, a year, whatever, semester, and it was being taught that there was a revelation of Christ. Christ needed to be revealed in you. And I remember, praying that over and over. And I remember, I'd get beside my bed and I'd just be praying. I'd say, Father, I want a revelation of Christ. I want Christ to be revealed in me. And, and all of this, just passionately. Until I realized one day that there's more to it than praying the words. Amen? I realized that my motive, like probably your motive when you did the same thing, was I want to know deeper things. I want to be in the in crowd. I want to really know the Lord so that people will honor me and think highly of me. I want to, anybody, be honest, anybody? Yeah. I mean, I was sold out to that at the moment, at that time. And then I remember at a juncture, I was praying it and I went, wait a minute. And that was after many times of praying it with the wrong motive. Okay, I went, wait a minute. I'm just praying this for my own, because of me, because I want to look good, or I want to have something, or I want to, fit in with the people that know and all that kind of stuff. And I said something like, Father, I'm sorry that I've been praying this way. And he said, it's okay. What? And he said, yeah, keep praying it, because when you get the revelation of Christ, you won't be that way anymore. Right? He will have changed you and your spirit will be different. You will, it'll be, Christ will actually be revealed in you. So he said, keep going. You can pray it selfishly as long as you get it. So is that okay with y'all?
Yes.
Yeah. Not. I didn't say do everything selfishly. I said that one thing. You'll end up, in the correct parking space. All right. So. So he's quoting David here when he says, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. So Jesus knew well in advance why he was here on the planet. To die. To be rejected. He understood that. But he also understood, so that's Nightmare City to some of you. Oh my God, I don't want to live in rejection. I don't want to, Well, I don't think anybody really wants to do that. I think that is against our natural tendencies toward preserving our flesh. Okay? So, but when the Lord starts really getting hold of you, you understand that there is a way that you could be more with the Lord than you are if you're just going to church and you're singing in the choir or you're helping out with the kiddies or something like that. You know, there's a way to be with him that is according to the eternal plan of God. But more importantly, it's according to the heart and nature of God. It is. It is according to that. And so then, so that takes us back to the First Peter class. What an incredible book. But it took me forever to unfold it. You know, I mean, it did. You know, you heard it shared, unfolded. You didn't have to look at each scripture and word and go, what? You know, and why is that? Da, da, da. But it's all with purpose, and it's with eternal purpose. So, and it's not my purpose right now to teach the eternal plan of God so that you'll get it, you know. Hopefully, you're growing into the image of the Lamb. Okay, so when Jesus says, did you ever read? He's like, he's literally in this case talking about, look, if nothing else, I'd like for you to read this. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. You see that? Because when he said, did you ever read? He's, bam, he's talking about that. And the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. And Jesus is functioning as the Son of Man, not the Son of God. So he's got a Lord, if you will. And he's saying, this is, look, he's talking to the guys that are going to kill him. This is the Lord's doing, not yours. It is yours, you know, it says in Acts, you know, through the determinant counsel of God, meaning the Godhead got together and they worked up the plan. And Jesus said, I'll be the Lamb part. And the Spirit says, I will reveal him. And the Father says, you know, I will bring them in as sons. But then it says in Acts, when Peter's talking, who through the determinant counsel of God basically offered up his son, but you, through wicked hands, you did it with a different motive. So he knows who he's talking to, and he knows what's the deal, and he's not running from it, he's not hiding from it, this is it, you know. What shall I say then, Father? Save me from this hour, but for this cause came I to this hour. See? And if we could all just realize we think in terms of years of our life, but if you thought in terms of just one hour, the specific hour when you're willing by the Lamb to go down, not necessarily into physical death, but into a true death with him, and you are with him, that's marvelous.
Yeah.
In his eyes. And see, that's the thing, see here. It says, it's the Lord's doing. And he says, that's marvelous the way he sees things.
Amen.
This is marvelous in his eyes. So Jesus is taking David's scripture and saying, let me explain the path. And let me explain the heart of God who sent his son, who you killed by wicked hands, and know that from the son's point of view, from the Lamb's point of view, this is marvelous in his eyes. And can it be that for us? It should be. And again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Glorified, yeah, yeah, yeah. Except the seed, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it's going to bring forth much fruit. That they shall bring forth fruits in their due season. They won't be murderers, they won't be killers, they'll be lambs. So, you know, Jesus is thrilled with David's viewpoint. Isn't that cool? He's thrilled with it. And he wants to be thrilled with yours and mine. Okay, so let's move on to a part we didn't even touch on. I don't think, maybe we did. So let's just sit. I want to go back to Matthew 21, and I mean, we're in Matthew 21, but I mean, let's look at verse 15. Matthew 21, 15 through 16 or 17, we'll just see. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read? Do you get the feeling that Jesus feels like his people are not really in the Word? Well, they didn't have the problems we have today. You know, I mean, just keeping up with my email and texts or whatever. I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, I understand that. I mean, I understand it with me. I mean, there are many, many, many days the Lord will be sharing with me. And I mean, I'm there. And the phone rings, and then I get a text, and then da-da-da-da. And that, it's just like, you know. And it's not all, you know, somebody calling me up and going, Randy, I'm with the Lord right now. And I could say back, so am I, what you got? You know what I mean? It's like, well, okay. We have problems. Amen. We do. I understand that. But one of the reasons why we have problems is because we don't have we don't see it like the Lord. It's not marvelous in our eyes yet. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know? I mean, it's not all the world's problems. It's partially because we have yet to see that. And that's not true of everybody. And that's not true of everybody that talks to me either. Because I have had many a time, especially, you know, I mean, I've been in this a long time. I mean, that 50th wedding anniversary was also 50 years in ministry. If y'all didn't really realize that, it was. So, I have had people just open the Word and share with me, and it just washed over me. Just marvelous, because they should have been destroyed, or they should have been, you know, whatever. Well, you know, I had a situation recently, and you know, it hurt, and my pattern is that the best thing to do is me not to walk around with the hurt open and then let people bump into it and, you know, just keep, you know how it is. If you have a wound on your hand and something that's really bad and you keep bumping it, it's never going to heal. So I withdraw. And I do that because I need to. And usually with me, it's not that long. But, you know, we all need that time, recovery time is the way I look at it. We all need to recharge, you know, and that's okay. In fact, for some, it is surely the Lord For me, it's surely the Lord. And I, you know, I mean, some may go longer than I do. Maybe because I've been 50 years in this. And you've been, you know, 3 or something, you know. I try, here's what let me just explain to you. I try to share the word as it is in his heart. But I'm not trying to condemn people for, you know, because we're all growing. And I'm not doing it from a high spot of saying, well, I'm better than y'all or whatever. It is just that from his heart, I see that he's been waiting a long, long time to get those that would, you know, bring forth the fruits of it in its due season, you know. And I know that, you know, he's okay. He's going to be okay. You know, I know that. But I still care. You know, I still care. Anyway, so, verse 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Anybody know where that scripture is? Yeah. Yeah, but it's also used in another place. I'll leave it at that. Okay. So, but it's David still. That's the point. It's David still coming through and to Jesus. I get the feeling he's not quoting the book. He's quoting a friend who understood and who was there with him. His name was David, who understood and was there with him and spoke that area of truth or that, you know, high of truth or whatever, however you word it. It would be personal to Jesus. And it would be clear cut what he believes, what Jesus believes, the very thing that David said, because God shared it with him way back then. And they're all on the same page for all eternity. So the chief priests saw it, okay? And they're upset. In fact, they're not just upset, they are, what are they? Sore displeased. Gosh, didn't know it was going to make us sore. Anyway, sore displeased. End of verse 15. And what are they displeased over? They saw and they heard children crying, Hosanna to the Son of David inside the temple. Their domain. What's going on in my domain? Not just mine, because it says the chief priests and the scribes. So you're talking a pretty good group there. You know, and they say to Jesus, do you hear that? You hear what's going on? So, I'm seeing this angst happening with them, and I'm seeing this joy going on over here with the kids. You know? They're all upset. I mean, you know, it's like, what are y'all, raiding the temple? We're not used to having a bunch of kids in here, a bunch of youth or whatever. We're not used to this and you being in here and just all of a sudden being spontaneous. And this isn't what we're, you know, this isn't what this is all about. Well, It's too much exuberance. Shut up, Kelly. I'm right to say that, folks. You know there's too much going on. You know, I would venture to say that they're seeing what's happening in the temple as unruly and, you know, maybe even out of control. And it's being done in an unholy manner. Could that be? I mean, I think it could be the thing that's going on. Because why would they get so upset? I mean, see, they're not even upset with Jesus. They're not going, Jesus. They're only upset with Jesus when they go, Jesus. Them. Yeah. Pointing to the youth, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know. What did I write down here? Whatever the issue was, they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? That's, Ben Kishaka. Are you listening, Ben? So whatever the issue was, they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Do you hear this? Do you hear this? They're saying this to Jesus as if, you know, you're responsible. Okay. Well, Jesus is responsible, but not physically person that's there responsible, but what Jesus has released that has influenced them and drawn them and turned something on, turned the switch on the inside of life, and it starts going up, and it's, they're not just, you know, they're not just going, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. I love Jesus too. You know, it's like, Jesus! Yes! Jesus, thou son of David.
Perfect.
They're plugged into another Jesus than these guys are.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yes.
They're plugged into the one Jesus is quoting.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I mean, it's really exciting when you think about it, that's what they could do. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that the temple was probably never overrun with youth. But now it is. And Jesus isn't in there going, okay, let's do this or whatever. It's just happening, you know. And so they're even talking to Jesus like he doesn't even know it. So we're going to inform you, you know what I mean? We're going to tell you because this is this is not good. And you know, you're responsible. And in that sense, Jesus just quotes the scripture and says, you know, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? Is praise perfected?
Yes.
Perfected. And why is it perfect? Okay, well, let's think about it. Okay. They're in the temple. Of course, all these guys are out here wrestling with Jesus, if you will, the chief priests and all that. All the kids are in the temple. It's perfected because it is not politically motivated, the worship, right? It's not political. It's not, well, you know, this is what's going on in the world and we're not, you know, no. It's not religious. At least it's not religious in terms of being approved by religion. So you might could say it's not religious at all. It's just something has hit them. They said, let's go to the temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that where we should be with God? You know, let's go to the temple. Let's get in there and let's just sing and shout. And it says they were crying. So I think that that's either one or two things or both. One of them is they're crying out loud, Jesus, Son of David, you know, or they're crying because, Jesus, you're the Son of David. Yeah. We're getting to experience that God that everybody loved from the early days when he was a boy all the way through, and even the worst times and everything, there were people that loved him because he had such a heart after God and wanted God's heart. He was a man after God's heart. And guess what? I'll tell you a little secret. You probably didn't know this. He was a man after God's heart when he was still a youth. He was. Check it out. Yeah. I mean, the rejection of King Saul came from God to reject him. And God had already, before all of that had happened, and God's having to work through Samuel to say, you know, you are no longer king or whatever. You'll be removed. He'd already found David, a man after his own heart, but he was still a kid. So watch out for these young people. They might hurt your ears with this yelling and crying, so watch out. Amen? They might want to get loud. It might be exuberant in them because they're not really just plugging into the religion of the chief priest. They're plugging in. And they're not just plugging into the person of the Jesus that the chief priests are talking to outside of the temple. They're inside of the temple with this Son of David, Jesus. And it's just overwhelming to them. You know what it reminded me of when I was reading it tonight? It reminded me of David when he was a lot younger, real young still. And he wanted to bring the ark back. Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to bring the ark back. He wanted to bring the presence of God back in the middle of everything. And so the prospect of doing such a thing had them all dancing and shouting and, you know, all the tambourines going and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, you know, I mean, if there were Pharisees back then, I'm sure that they were kind of going, no, we don't do it this way. You know. Yeah.
Michael did do that.
Well, I know, but we're not gonna bum people out yet. We'll wait till you do it. I'm just kidding. I don't know why I said that, because I'm weird. Anyway. But it did. It definitely reminded me of it. A lot of times when I'm reading, I kind of feel like I'm somebody there, and I'm either sitting or standing just kind of on the outside edge, and nobody's noticing, but I'm just watching what's going on. I'm just reading the story, and it's like, I'm there. I'm watching. So I was there, and this noise starts happening over here, you know, and it's happening in the temple, and yet it's not noise, it's perfect praise, praise perfected. That's heart praise. That's unmotivated by the flesh praise. And so it was like, my ear caught it because I'm in this story and Jesus is saying you're rejected and this and that, and you know, and it's a tough little moment there in a certain sense, you know. And then I hear this wonderful sound going up, and I'm just going, what a lack. And so I just kind of turn and I look, and then I hear the high priest or the priest talk and says to Jesus, you know, do you hear this? Do you hear this? I'm sure Jesus was thinking, yeah, I do. Yeah. I'm loving it. I'm not loving it. Why? It wasn't pointed at him. It was pointed at the one that was alive in their hearts. You know? So he's not going, yeah, they're talking about me. It's not pro-self stuff. It's just, in fact, because it's happening spontaneously, even if it's about him, that's not him drumming it up. So, folks, it's acceptable, you know. So, anyway, so I'm hearing this praise and it sounds wonderful. And then I turn back and I hear you know, the chief priest saying, do you hear that? And, you know, putting all this blame on Jesus and da-da-da-da. And it was as if one ear could still hear all of this in light of this that I'm hearing with them accusing Jesus and attacking Jesus. God gave me two ears. I couldn't believe it. He actually gave me two. And I could hear praise arising as incense, but with tears crying and then joy crying and release crying. And I could hear all that, and I could hear nothing but, you know, well, this ain't right, and, you know, do you know what's going on in the temple? And this is your fault, and you know, you need to get in there and chase them kids off. So, anyway. So I wrote it was pure. It was perfected praise. It's pure. That the kids won't jump on your programmed bandwagon. Now, in a lot of churches, for the young, like the kids and then the young people, and they literally are sent, and they have to pay for it, but through the year, they are sent with a program of stuff that you do. With the little kids, it's crafts and some teaching and stuff like that. With the teens, it's, you know, teen stories and stuff like that. But it's programmed, and it'll go all year long until the new year, and then you'll get some more, okay? And it's canned Jesus, and I'm not being critical, but it's not temple Jesus. Can I say it like that? It's not temple Jesus. Am I against it? I'm not against it. You know, do it. Do something. You know?
Yes.
I mean, seriously. I believe that in their heart somewhere they love Jesus, the leaders, and they're trying to reach the kids. So I'm not critical of it. But how many of those kids grow up and go out in the world and end up never remembering any of the canned lessons? Okay. But I think that these kids over here in the temple, I think they're going to remember that all the days of their life. I do. I think it'll always ring true to them. And any time they hear of or see anything close to it, they'll go, oh, yeah, I know what that is. Oh, I want to just be near that. I want to be, you know, just to hear of it brings joy. I'll give you an example. There's a movie out right now called The Jesus Revolution, and I was in the big smack middle of all of that. And so I went to see it. Me and Deb went to see it. Just there's stuff in us that just rang true, you know. And it'll always be true. Because what happened was God, not just a, you know, stirring people up. It's got to be more than that.
Yes.
It has to be. And I think that, it, you know, the scripture says if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. But if you really draw near. So anyway, well, I quoted out of, Psalms 8:2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, out of the mouth. And it was the sound that I was hearing happening in the temple. It was out of their mouth. They were crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were crying and singing. I mean, I could hear it as far as, you know. There was, it wasn't business as usual. It was something so real. And so, like I said, it reminded me of this thing that hit, that began in David's heart. So David is the son of David. So then Jesus is coming back in right on this whole time. He's coming back into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they're going laying down branches and saying Hosanna to the King, and they're doing all this stuff, and everybody's into it. It's like the ark is coming back home. And, you know, some churches celebrate, Palm Sunday. That should have been easier than for me. Palms Sunday. but anyway, but he's coming, and there's all this movement and all of this whatever. But the truth is that eventually that Jesus that's on the donkey has to go away. And there can still be this power of the true life, not just the picture that we have of him, the Jesus of Nazareth. But now we're having the Son of David. I mean, Jesus was called the root and offspring of David. I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about everything David did. I want you to think of all the stories. I want you to think about all of the ways that he dealt with stuff. So different from everybody else. If you saw somebody doing that today, you would go, that's Christ in them. You would say it's the Lamb. And he lived that way. Dealt with things that way. And, you know, so Jesus was the root of David that's going through his veins, through all of his vines and everything, bringing forth all of this that we see in David. But it was really another life that he had yielded to because he had a heart after God. See? And then he's also the offspring. So popping out of David's lineage is Jesus.
Amen.
So he's so that makes him what? Alpha and Omega. You know. And it's in Revelation several times where it's quoting Alpha and Omega and everything, and it'll talk about Jesus being the root of David or the root and offspring of David. It's in Revelation. Also, Book of Revelation. So, there's a possibility that the Lord is doing something on a larger scale than us. There's a possibility that he's moving another church and at least a few churches around that he hadn't moved in like that in a long time. There's a possibility that that film came out when it did. We have recently found out that what's the name of the printing place again?
Copy Pro
is closing down, and we've been with them for 27 years, and they've been so sweet and giving us deals and all this kind of stuff, talking about the church. and that's what she's asking for, some help so we can just bring those things in. But in the process of them packing in stuff, just tears and hugging
the presence of the Lord.
And at a certain juncture, Deb had mentioned that movie, and Deb just goes, "I love Jesus." And he says,
"I love Jesus too.
I love Jesus.
And I hope other people want Jesus too.
And it was in a certain spirit. In other words, as if we're going to, as if we're going to start hearing more. Well, I don't want to wait for them to do it and then I say, "Oh, well, let's do it too." You know, I would like, in the temple, we have some crying and some joy and some seeking. Yeah.
One other thing, these scriptures right here, I don't know if you're going to mention it, but Jesus and everybody, they're all in that same heart and that same spirit. Then he goes into the temple. There's such a contrast.
Yes.
And he begins to, anything that's not of that, he just starts, get out of this temple. My temple is not to be represented
in that way.
He began, it was just a shock, a contrast.
Right.
You know. Of that heart that was in him and David,
Well,
were like breathing that.
Well, that was the common thing that the temple and everything was about to them, was to sacrifice animals instead of being a living sacrifice yourself. Mm-hmm. And to love God, not just obey things, not just to obey things that you may be misrepresenting the Lord's heart in relationship to him. And so but you can't work up the spontaneity thing, I mean, when it starts happening, then it's real. And then there's going to be opposition also and all that kind of stuff. But it'll be Jesus as like the Son of David. It will be like that. It will be if I can just say it like this, it will be as if David is leading the crowd all the way back in to Jerusalem, and they have rejoiced, and I don't know if you knew this, but when they got there, they went all night or late, offering sacrifices and joy and all this kind of stuff. And the ark was placed inside David's tabernacle. Mount Zion. And that was the beginning of joy.
Yes.
For the Father, yes. And the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, we just stand with you. We sense. I think we sense you. We sense something's up. We sense it. We believe that there's the possibility of something much more to come, not just for us here, but for many people. And Father, we just don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss you. We want to be not just tools and vessels. We want to be in the flow with you.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we don't pray this or think in this way based on anything that we think is special about us or this church. In that sense, we are just trying to hear your heart. And Father, I believe that I did, and I believe that many here did hear your heart in those scriptures where the children were crying out, and it was a great movement of the Lord among them, Father, your Son. And that Jesus knew and received it, and he received it as perfected praise.
Yes.
And so, Lord, perfect our praise.
Yes. Yes.
And purify our hearts and prepare us. And Father, it's easy to be used to certain ways and things. I have no clue what I'm praying or in for, but I feel to pray them, and I feel right to do that. And so we look to you, we hold on to one another, and we want to be faithful to one another as we go forward, and we want to see your glory, not our glory. We ask none of these things just for our glory or for something that would happen for us, but rather that spontaneity that happened in the temple. They could not take credit for that, nor could they in the upper room when the Spirit fell on them. So there's no glory to us, and we know that, and we want that, no glory to us. But we want perfected praise. And we want it to really minister to you, Jesus, in the midst of junk being poured into your ears from the chief priest. We want you to, above all the noise of that, to hear what's going on in the temple. And to hear the name of David being used, and it doesn't offend you at all. It makes you smile. So, Father, thank you. And there are many more prayers we will need to pray. But we're coming. We're coming. We're coming. And we don't even know what that means, but we're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're going to do it. And so thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Eternally thank you. And bless these folks that are here tonight. May you continue to speak to their hearts, because they are needed. They are needed by you. And I believe that they have what it takes already, and they'll gain more, as we all will, as we go on with you, Jesus. So thank you, Father. Thank you. We look forward to the future as described in those scriptures. In Jesus' name. Amen.